Well, last Sunday, I had this backpack here. Do you remember this backpack? Oh, this is 75 pounds. And this backpack is not designed to hold 75 pounds, but I made it designed to hold 75 pounds. I put this on Stephen, our youth minister's back, and I asked him to do some things with it, to jump, to run. And I talked about how forgiveness, a lot of times, is about carrying heavy weight, and that we need to let this weight go, that we can't continue our lives with this weight on our back. And so today I want to talk a little bit about what it means to let go. You may say, Alan, that's great. You asked me to let go of the pain, let go of all the things that we talked about last week, but how do I do that? How do I practically do that? And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about what it means to practically let go of pain, to let go of those things that kind of weigh us down. And if you remember last week, I had the congregation practice some words, some phrases. You remember it was, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. Six words to remember, six words to help let go. And it's funny, as adults, we often struggle with forgiveness, right? But have you ever seen a child give or receive forgiveness? It's a very easy transaction. It's very easy for them to resolve their differences. Case in point here, this is a letter from a Yosemite National Park junior ranger who took a couple of sticks, a big no-no according to park policy, and he remedied the situation by sending a letter to the park rangers and be able to return the two sticks that he swiped. And one of these rangers shared this letter on the internet, and he shared this image, and he wrote the caption, I'm a ranger at Yosemite National Park and receive many letters. This one is my favorite. The letter reads this from the junior park ranger. Dear park rangers, I'm a Yosemite junior ranger. I went to Yosemite recently and accidentally brought home two sticks. And I wonder how accidentally that was, but we will trust this child. I know I'm not supposed to take things from the park, so here I am sending them back. Please put them in nature. Sign, thank you, Evie. And here are the two little sticks right here. Taped it to the letter, sent it to Yosemite National Park. I wish forgiveness was this easy, right? That's a pretty good way to say, I'm sorry, right? That's a pretty good way to show that you did something wrong, to have the dignity to write a letter, and then to be able to make it better, to let go of what was taken and to return it. This park ranger said that he is going to take these sticks and place them in different places of the park and take pictures of them and send it back to this young girl. It's amazing how now a relationship has formed because of an accident or because of someone doing something they weren't allowed to do. It's cute, right? Very cute. But I think it's a great example of how letting go can heal and mend relationships. Letting go can heal and mend relationships. Owning to one's own wrong and pain is critical to letting go. And today we're going to talk about what it means to let go. In our scripture text this morning, we have a perfect example of a process of letting go. And it's a rather lengthy text. But if you have it in front of you, you have your Bibles, why don't you open up back to Genesis 37. See, Joseph here and his Technicolor dream coat are hated by his brothers, right? Many of us are familiar with the story. The brothers make a plan to do away with Joseph. They want to do away with Joseph because they don't think the youngest brother should be so loved by their father. They don't think he should have this great Technicolor dream coat. And so what do they want to do? First, they want to kill him. Then they decide to leave him in a pit. Thank God for Reuben. Reuben spoke up and said, hey guys, wait, let's not kill him. So they put him in the pit. And they think, wow, wait a minute, we should make money off of this. Isn't that a good idea? To do something wrong and to say, how can I make money off this? You know, that's the type of heart his brothers had. They were very, very sinful to think about how they could profit off of this. So they sell their brother into slavery. And fast forward many, many years and fast forward many, many different stories. Joseph has now ascended to the top of Pharaoh's household. He is Pharaoh's number one man. And Joseph has lots of wealth and power. But there's a food shortage, a famine throughout the whole land. And it affects even Joseph's brothers. And they come seeking for help. Well, unknowingly, they come to Joseph. And what happens next is a path about finding forgiveness. And in the path to finding forgiveness, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge our pain. Acknowledge our pain. The first thing Joseph does is acknowledge his pain in chapter 45, verse 1. It says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those stood by him. He cried out, send everyone away from me. So no one stayed with Joseph, made himself known to his brothers. And the first thing he did, he sent everyone away. He wanted to address his pain in front of his brothers. It wasn't anyone else's business. It was the pain between him and his brothers, and he was acknowledging that. This is the first step of letting go, to forgive. Joseph made his pain real. He owned his pain. Now, owning something is different than possessing it. Possession is a legal concept. You know, possession is 9/10 of the law. It's a legal concept. Ownership is about personal relationship. Joseph, he didn't conceal his pain. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to shove it deep down in his soul. He let it out. Likewise, if we want to forgive, if we want to move on, if we want to let go of our pain in order to forgive, we have to acknowledge pain. But not in a way that's vengeful, not in a way that's demeaning, not in a way that is judgmental or nasty or snarky, but in a way we can acknowledge it in a healthy way. Instead, what's helpful is to do something called I language. Do you know what I language is? If you want to address someone about pain, you say, I am sad. I am depressed. I am hurt. Not, you made me depressed. You are horrible. Or you hurt me. But instead, you language. See, you language tries to deflect the pain and it tries to lay blame. But I language is about acknowledgement of you and how someone's actions affected you and how it made you feel. People are motivated by feeling. I don't care how manly you are or how womanly you are, everything you do in your life is motivated by feeling. Being able to let go is being able to acknowledge. Second, if we want to let go, we have to name our pain. We have to name our pain. Naming a pain gives special identity to it. It lets the world know it. Not some vague thought, but it's a concrete feeling. And we put it into terms that everyone stands. We don't use words. We don't use language that other people don't understand. We use simple, plain words that the world understands. You know, I always loved in the comics, in the newspaper, in cartoons, whenever a character would kind of bang their foot and they would get mad, there'd be a little caption, a little bubble right in that window. And in that caption would be all these keyboard characters, you know, question mark, X, dollar sign, percentage sign, hyphen, exclamation mark. That was the way for the comic writer to be able to say, this character is mean and he's saying things that we can't print in the newspaper. So as a kid, I'm always like, what did they say? I want to know what they said. Is something good? Is something bad? Naming our pain, we have to put our words in a way that people understand them. Joseph let it out. And he let everyone knew about it, even in Pharaoh's house. In verse 2, it says he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it. And the household of Pharaoh heard it. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone weeps so loudly, there's something about feeling that person's pain. You know, I've been to one or two funerals in my day. And I know what it means for an adult mother to grieve the pain of her deceased son. That shouldn't happen. Sons should outlive their parents. But there's something about in a funeral when that mother cries, everyone feels that pain. And I think that's the type of pain that Joseph, he wailed so loudly that everyone knew what kind of pain he was going through. Being able to name our pain is critical. A number of years ago, there was a research assistant. Let's just call him Jeff to protect his identity. Jeff discovered, as a research assistant, lost letters from Thomas Jefferson. And these lost letters were letters, personal love letters, to his slave, Sally Hemings. And a part of Jeff's graduate work, Jeff's professor asked him to postpone graduation upon finding these letters so that they too could both study it. So Jeff agreed. And him and his professor wrote a scholarly article about it, and they agreed on that they would be co-authors of this groundbreaking article. Well, in the next meeting of the American Historical Association, the article was presented. And Jeff was so happy, he was so excited about the work he had done and the discovery and wanted to share it, that when the article was distributed, there was only one name there. And it wasn't Jeff's, it was the professor's. It was published in the professor's name. Jeff received no credit for his work, even though they agreed that they would be co-authors. Later on, Jeff would say this, "I recognize annoyance, but that's not what I feel. Some disappointment, no indignation. Yes, grief, but what I feel is rage. My blood is boiling, and I hate that man. I wish he would get fire and die of a frenzy on the spot." Now, you may say, well, that's really kind of ugly language. But what Jeff did here was an important step in letting go, to vocalize and to name pain. Once you are able to name something and identify it, you're ready for the next step. The next step, if you want to go, is we have to evaluate our pain. For Joseph, after he shares his pain, he makes an important step in verse 3 here. Joseph says to his brothers, "I am Joseph." And the first thing, what does he ask? "Is my father alive?" But his brothers couldn't answer, because they were so dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said again, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery into Egypt." Do you see what just happened there? Joseph just put his whole life, everything that had been done to him, all his wrong, and he put it into perspective. He didn't make this all about himself. He didn't dwell on his pain. He didn't have a big pity party for his pain. But he took time to evaluate his anger. And who does he immediately think about? Not himself, but his father. Yes, the one who loved him and who he had not seen, and the one who gave him the Technicolor Dreamcoat. He thought of his father's love, and not only about his own pain. He was able to evaluate. In order to evaluate, we must ask questions like, what is more important, my pain or my love for my father? Joseph made the right decision. in the midst of our anger and pain of what has happened to us. Letting go is about evaluating our pain. Asking ourselves the questions, what have I learned? Who has hurt me? How will I live? How will I move on? Who can help me? These are important questions in order for us to evaluate our pain. If our pain is too much to evaluate, you know what you do? Get help. Talk to a trusted friend, somebody who can remain neutral, a third party that can give you some perspective. Or maybe talk to your pastor. That's what I'm here for. You know, a lot of you always say to me, oh, pastor, I know you're so busy, but, and I say, no, I'm not busy. This is what my time is for. You can talk to me. That's part of my job of shepherding, part of my calling. So I'm a resource. Your friends are a resource. And if you don't trust me or someone else, that's fine. I won't be hurt. Then talk to a counselor. Talk to someone who can make sense of your pain. There are people who are trained and educated who are ready to help you, who you don't have to be embarrassed in front of. And men, and as a man I can say this, men, so women, just shut me out for a minute here, men, talking about your feelings to a counselor, to someone else, is not weak. We men, we have a hard time sharing our feelings, don't we? But you have them. They're there. They're real underneath everything else. And you need to evaluate them. Especially in relationships. And if you don't, you're going to crumble. You're going to crumble inside. You're going to self-destruct. If you think you're too manly about talking about your feelings to someone else, then you're not a real man at all. Why? God created you with feelings. God created you with feelings. You wouldn't be a man without feelings to evaluate. Okay, women, you can come in now. We want to be able to let go. We must be able to encounter our last step. Is that we must take responsibility. We must take responsibility for our pain. One of the most amazing things that happened is right here in the Old Testament. It's what Joseph does because he takes responsibility for his pain. It says here in verse 5 through 9, now Joseph says, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry, bring my father down here. And then here's the critical manly feeling part. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And while Benjamin wept upon his neck, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Joseph took responsibility for his pain. He named his pain. He evaluated it. And now he took responsibility. That doesn't mean that he shared a part in the wrongdoing. I'm not talking about that responsibility. He asked himself the question, okay, I've been wronged. My brothers are here. What's next? He didn't forget what happened to him. You know that old saying, forgive and forget? That's not a good saying. But forgive and to move on is a better one. Joseph didn't forget, but he didn't let it ruin his life. Instead, he looked to God to change his life. He didn't stuff his emotions away. He didn't stuff his pain away. He took responsibility for his feelings. He says, I am hurt and I need to do something about it. He made a plan for restoration. He started to heal because he was able to let it go. He fell on his brother's necks and wept, and he made a plan He remembered that his family's love and relationships was more important than his anger. If your anger is so great because of what has been done to you, think about what's more important, your anger or your need to be a part of a family. And so if we want to move on, we have to let go. By holding on to pain, you're only hurting yourself. You know, sometimes when we're angry at someone, we think we're penalizing them, right? We're angry at them as a way to get back at them. But stop thinking that you're penalizing a friend or a family member by being angry at them. You're only penalizing yourself because you're carrying a heavy weight around with you. Joseph's story is a story about letting go. It's a story about acknowledging pain, about naming pain, about evaluating pain, and then taking responsibility for pain and to act so that Joseph could let go. Today, begin the journey of letting go, to acknowledge, to name, to evaluate, and take responsibility for your feeling and to say, I've been wrong, and here's my plan to make it right. Today, begin the path of letting go, and you can begin on the path of forgiveness. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we struggle. Lord, sometimes our pain is so great, we don't want to let it go. We've known this pain for a long time. We know it. We've been carrying it. It's just become a part of us. But Lord, we know deep down inside it hurts. And Lord, we have to let that hurt out. Help us let it out so that we can let it go. Lord, journey with us. Lord, be with us in our pain, in our grief, in our depression. Help us be able to make things right and have a plan to take responsibility for what has happened to us, responsibility of our pain, and to say, I've been hurt. You have hurt me. And then for restoration and forgiveness to happen. Lord, we know this can't happen in a day. It may not be able to happen in a week or maybe in a whole year. But Lord, help us start today on the path of letting go so that we can receive the benefit of being lifted of this burden. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.